Everybody, it's Sunday Night Fights Live, brought to you by Takedown Grappleware and MMAMadhouse.com. We want to thank our great sponsors, and without further ado, the Intercontinental Champ of SoCal MMA Talk Radio, Mr. Ray Lopez.
What's up, Skippy? What's up to everyone out there in listener land? How's it going? Had a big weekend for MMA this weekend. Me, myself, I just came back from a cheer competition. My daughter's team, Bosco Tech, competed in. It's going to be shown on Telemundo out here in L.A. Big news there was I got to see Rikishi Fatu from the WWF. That's right, not the WWE. I'm old school. He was out there doing some Lucha Libre stuff, and great time. It's just a little hot out here in Cali. But like I said, we had a big weekend for MMA out there. And I want to give a shout-out to a great friend of the show's, Dmitry Gerasimov. He fought against Chinzo Machida. Yeah, he dropped a split decision to him. I mean, that's awesome. Dima's only been pro for, I don't know, about a year. And to go in there and bang with Chinzo, that's, like, awesome.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on your daughter for making that competition. The fans who follow the show, you guys know his daughter is big into that. Also, how cool, man, to be able to go down and see a legend. Let's be honest, somebody who we all grew up knowing. And, I mean, today's generation of wrestling fans might be a little different than our generation, but, you know, because we had some truly, truly legendary guys, man. So, you know, I'm still a kid at heart when it comes to the wrestlers.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, and there's always that the crossover with MMA fighters. I mean, you look at, you know, Dan Severin and Ken Shamrock. You know, they were doing it way before Brock Lesnar.
Hey, I asked Ken last week when he was on the show. I asked him, which one did he love more? And his analogy, or, you know, I basically that was the question, but I asked it a little bit more different. But he said, let me tell you, he goes, MMA is an apple, wrestling is an orange. Sometimes I'm eating apples more than oranges, and sometimes I'm eating oranges more than apples. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool, buddy. I got you there.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people think wrestling, you know, it's fake. Well, yeah, it's staged, and, you know, they do a lot of, you know, acting. But, I mean, it's still dangerous. You know, you look at these guys and the injuries that they sustain. It's just crazy, and you know, they're doing shows 300 days a week. You know, there's a lot of dark shows that people don't see. So, you know, they are athletes. You know, I'll give them that.
Well, I can't disagree with that. And speaking of athletes, Ross Pearson, Diego Sanchez, let's get it out on the table. I was finally able this morning to see a replay of the fight. I got to hear your opinions, man. I really do. I got it, you know, from somebody like yourself. What do you think of the overall fight and outcome?
You know, I'm a little biased here. Diego Sanchez is my favorite fighter of all time.
I know. That's why I'm asking you.
I've never met him. You know, I've met everybody else in the business, except for my two favorites, which is Diego and Kane. I've never met them. But, I mean, I'm a little biased. I think Ross definitely brought it. I think Diego stole each round. You know, Ross was winning each round until, you know, the last minute Diego turned it up. And, I mean, he was able to get away with the win. I was happy for that. But, I mean, Ross definitely brought it. I mean, I think he had a lot more power on his punches than Diego did. And like they say, you know, you leave it in the judge's hands, you know, you get the chance of not getting the win. But by the same token, too, I think that's kind of a cop-out because, these guys are judging fights, they need to be able to judge them correctly.
Okay, I know he's your boy, and I'll be honest, I've never been a huge Diego fan. I'm not going to lie. Anybody who knows me would know that's a lie if I said that. I think he's a good fighter, a good fighter. I think he will never be better than a 6 in his career, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being champions. I think he will always be a 6, 7, 8 kind of fighter, somebody who's exciting, somebody who's fun to watch, somebody who's maybe a gatekeeper for the younger crowd. But the judge who gave round 2 to Diego after getting dropped and a stopped takedown, it insanely blew my mind. I'm not saying by any – I do not want to disrespect Diego's performance. He is a hell of a fighter. I would not be able to do what he did last night or on most nights that he does. I felt that all 3 rounds did go to Ross personally, especially due to the body work, the amount of shots he landed, and the amount of missing. You know, there at the end of round 3, Diego threw a 7-8 hit combo and only caught 1. All the rest were, duck and shived or blocked. So, it was an exciting fight. It was kind of back and forth, but I feel the overall dominance for the fight had to go to Pearson personally. I can give an argument for round 1 going either way, but round 2 and 3, I'm not the kind of guy who likes to say the last 30 seconds you can steal a round. I kind of judge a fight still, and I shouldn't, but I still judge pride way. I'd like to judge a fight in its entirety, and I wish they would go back to that. But I just don't understand round 2, how that both judges gave round 2 when Diego was dropped. That just confuses me. That really does.
Well, I agree with your evaluation of Diego. He's never going to be a champion. He's an exciting fighter. And, he's getting up there in age now. He was the first Ultimate Fighter winner. And, he's getting up there in age. I think his career has plateaued. He's never going to be a champ or in the title hunt. He's more like a Clay Guida. You want to pay money to watch him fight. Win or lose, you want to watch that fight. And as a fan, I like that he won, but as a student of the game and objectively, yes, I believe Ross Pearson won.
Well, it sucks because Diego is such an exciting fighter. And, I wish you could judge on heart sometimes, but you can't. And it sucks because even if you go by the 10-point must system that, the UFC uses, kind of that base, I still give it to Ross. If you look at it judge pride-wise, I still give it to Ross. But see, here's the difference, I think, with Diego is we've talked about this, folks. He is still a fighter who fights to win. Whether it's the last 30 seconds or the whole 5 minutes, he will leave it all out there, and he did. And he tries to go for the win. He tries to go for the kill. He is a gritty fighter. He is a fighter's fighter. Guys like him, Keith Haring is somebody I would compare to Diego, somebody who always brought it and was always going to be a 5-6-7 kind of fighter. But he is one of my heroes of the sport, and like Diego is to you. I'm so concerned that if Diego doesn't keep winning, that the UFC will just cut him because there's too many fighters that are up and coming that need the room. And that's what's wrong with the sport, I think, is they need to keep guys like Diego around, guys like Heath Herring, guys like Quay, Guida. Whether you like his style or not, the guy brings it. He's in every single fight he's in. I mean, there's certain guys out there who just bring it, but because they're not a 1-2-3, they start getting pushed away, or because of their age, they start getting pushed away, and I don't like that aspect of the sport.
As a fan, if I'm paying that kind of money to watch a show like the UFC or Bellator, I want to see a 3-round war. I don't want to see a minute 20 knockout.
I agree. I agree. Look, this weekend I watched Ruff. You listened to some of that. We did, the whole deal with Ruff China, and some of the fights, I was heartbroken because I was like, the first bantamweight of the 3 to earn a title shot with the best performance, the first one that came up, Zhao Yafei, he got finished in like 45 seconds, and I was like, Dude, I've been waiting 9 months for this fight. This was just, like, bummer. I was like, really? These guys had a chance to be able to fight Azamat for their title by putting on a great performance, and this guy just goes out, boom, 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 choke, gun, fight over, you know? I was like, man.
Let me clarify my stance on that. As a pain fan, I want to see a three-round war. As a manager, I want my guys to knock out their opponent in 45 seconds. There's a difference there.
I love it, man. That's a great answer. Oh, man. Well, you know, look, I don't want to get too far into the show before we forget. folks, if you guys listened last week, we're having a new sponsor, and I do not want to forget him this week. We're going to be updating the logos due to this guy, and we're going to see some other social media aspects playing with Jax Media. So let me just play their ad real quick and thank Jax Media for sponsoring some SoCal MMA Talk Radio.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
So you guys get out there, check them out. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, they're on Instagram, they're everywhere. You're going to be seeing here in the next few weeks a brand new logo for the show, as well as some new logos with our sponsored Takedown Grappleware and Madhouse and Jax for some background banners and stuff. And we're going to be working a little bit more with them. You guys should check out their fighter bios. They are ridiculously cool. What you guys can do with them, and it's a clickable one-touch email, man. You can send it to every fight promoter in the country, and they open it up, and it's an interactive, beautiful file. Ah, oh, dude, yeah, they do great stuff. I really like their stuff. So big shout-out to them, guys. Also, I was going to say, check out Takedown Grappleware.
Oh, definitely, you know, check us out. But, yeah, I mean, without our sponsors' help, we wouldn't be able to do these shows. So definitely check them out, you know. I'd say probably about 75% of the people that listen are in the business, and you can definitely, you know, use Jax Media.
Oh, yeah, they, man, like, you know, anybody who's been to the MMA Madhouse website over the last few years, they have slowly but progressively been upgrading and updating a new logo and logos for all the radio shows we do, logos for special events. They've done fighter bios for a lot of the fighters we sponsor. Even fighters we don't sponsor, we've bought in some for and had help get some done. And they just everything from website design to T-shirt logo, whatever you could imagine, he can pretty much get it done. He's a good guy. And I can't, honestly, Ray, I'm super excited because he's like, dude, I'm going to blow your Sunday Night Fights Live logo up. And I'm like, man, I can't wait, dude, because he
I'm
was
excited.
Just, when I gave a list of everything that you're about, I'm about, you know, what the show's about, he's like, oh, man, this is like fresh territory for me because, you know, he gets so many of the same things, you know, from a lot of the fighters don't want to go outside that box of that norm, you know. So many logos look the same. So many walkout shirts look the same, you know. So he loves it when we give something to him because we're always like free reign, brother. He's the one who did the Rogue Show logo. It's like it's a picture of me basically just like super roided out with tattoos on my, you know, side of my head of the Madhouse logo. I love it.
That's tight.
Well,
you know what? I'm sorry, Skip. Before we go any further,
no.
I want to give a big shout out to Jonathan Santa Maria, a good friend of the show. Been on a few times. Yesterday was his Train to Care fundraiser at the UFC gym in Rosemead, California. We were able to collect, I believe it was a little over 5,000 bottles of water for the homeless out here in LA. You know, we've been going through some heat waves out here, so you know, it's definitely something that's going to help them. And, you know, we had Terrion Ware out there teaching, Jonathan Santa Maria, the Tsunami. We had Zion's Energy Drink. We had Randy Romero out there helping out. We had a lot of people out there from, you know, every level of MMA, from beginners to pros. Brandon Bender, Bellator fighter, was even in the house. It was great. I mean, I loved it. I can't wait for their next charity event so we can be involved. You know, the best part about it was, you know, we're watching, you know, from outside the cage, and they're teaching everybody, you know, their favorite moves. And Jonathan's son and some other little kid, they were just going at it in one of the corners of the cage, just arm-barring each other, and doing all kinds of stuff to each other. You know, you get two little three-year-olds just going at it. It was awesome.
Hey, brother, I would like to tell you real quick that I love what he does. I know I cut out at the very second there with Jonathan and what he did, and Madhouse wants to give him big, big props. It's a beautiful thing he did this week. I also want to tell you, we've got our first guest. Hey, folks, he is driving down the freeway, but he was not going to miss this because, you know, he's a great friend of the show. He promotes great SoCal MMA. That's what we're about. Ray, why don't you bring him on?
We got Greg Sharp from Explode Fight Series. You know, this is a
guy I've been
wanting to sign up for. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
I'm well. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. I'm glad to have you on the show. We've been trying to get you on the show for a long time. Well, I mean, not that long. We've only been around for a couple months, but we've had some of your fighters on. We've had Jonathan Santa Maria, who made his pro debut with you. He's fighting for you coming up real soon. We had Manolo on the other day. I know me personally, I've been trying to get my fighters on your card. You got the San Diego corner, the market cornered. So why don't you give our fans across the country and around the world a little background as to your promotion?
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I have seen that Jonathan has been on your show and he had a great fundraiser this weekend, and I hope that you guys touch on that a little bit later in the show. It's generosity and time that fighters give back, like Jonathan, that makes them special. He had the thirst drive, if you will, up at the Rosemead UFC this past weekend, and I think it went very well. I know we set up our allotment, and unfortunately I had something pop into my time frame yesterday where I would have been there, but it was just it's a special thing to have fighters like that and camps like Hurricane Awesome and just San Diego market. It's a great market to be in. And Ray, we will get some of your guys on the show. So don't. It's as you know, as a manager and been in the game, it takes a little bit of time to kind of fit the right pieces together to make it work. So don't think you're not on the radar, because we've got a lot of shows coming up. But to kind of answer your question, how we got started, about 3.5-4 years ago, I was in the gym business. I had been in the gym business for 2 decades, and we had fighters going to local shows that we would sell anywhere from 50 to 250 tickets, depending upon the fighter and his fan base. And we would show up at the shows, and we would be told last minute that the fights were off. Then we found out that the fighters who were supposed to fight were never even contacted to fight. And long story short, I decided that back then it was time to try to decide if there was a better way to do this. And having a cage, having friends on the reservation, having a good reputation in the community as a businessman to promote things, I decided that, you know, let's give it a shot. We had nothing to lose. We had everything to learn, and I really never thought that I'd get past 2 or 3 shows, because I didn't see myself at that time as a promoter. However, you know, we're 3.5 years later. We're across the country now. We're growing. You know, it's fun, and I enjoy it. And we see a lot of guys moving up into the big leagues, and it's great to watch these guys kind of progress and matriculate in their careers to the next level. So I'm having a good time with it.
Great. I've yet to make it out to your show, but I've seen you guys on, you know, your website. I've seen you on social media, and it looks like it's a great time for everybody. So I got to get my butt out there just to check it out myself.
July 19th, you're more than welcome to come down, Rick. I'll put you right on the cage if you want. That way you can enjoy a show and just relax and kick back and watch some great fights.
You know, that actually sounds real good. I think I'll take you up on that.
Please do.
And then we'll come back on the show on Sunday, and we'll go ahead and report how the fight went and get you a little bit more coverage out here with our listeners, and we have listeners all over the world here on the show.
Great. Love it.
Hey,
now,
go ahead. You know, you talked about building fighters' careers, and let's just get this crap out of the way. And, you know, I'll be honest, we're a media company, but we're a fair, honest media company. So this is not going to be an attack in any way, shape, or form. The mass amount of crap that has come out from the Zuffa Zombie fans about what you have done to build a certain fighter's career. First of all, I want to know how disrespected you felt by the attack. But second of all, I'd like you to lay your side out, because I believe what you did is nothing wrong, personally.
Well, and I appreciate that, Skip. But I think first and foremost, I don't take a lot of what was said as disrespectful, because I believe that the media has a right to inspect and to talk about what they feel is important in the news, and that in itself is fine. I have no problem with it. Some of the means and ways to put it, the story and the words that they said. If you look at the initial story and look at the story that's published now, there's a lot of editors that are involved and flaws for both sides. But having said that, you have a fighter whose name is Deshaun Johnson that came out and said, hey, why is Deshaun Johnson in the UFC? And first off, I don't pick who goes to the UFC. That's not my job. I don't, you know, they have Joe Silva, they have Sean Shelby, they have their talent scouts. You know, managers are talking directly to those gentlemen about their fighters and what their fighters can do for the UFC. And the UFC is entertainment. I mean, if we're in a sport that is still really considered entertainment. And what that truly means is there's no over-governing body, nothing like the World Boxing Council or IEBA for boxing in general. The UFC is kind of the one-stop, end-of-the-road overseer of all MMA. And that's everybody wants to get there. That's their goal. And there are terrific fighters in the world. There are great fighters all over the place. And the 155-pound division is one of the most stacked divisions in the world today. There's probably more 155ers, lightweights out there than any other weight class, bar none. So when you look at a fighter that gets pulled up, someone like a Deshaun Johnson, it doesn't matter if Deshaun Johnson would have been with Explode Fight Series or ABC Fight Series. You know, they're going to look at him and say, why are you picking up Deshaun Johnson when Joe Smith, my local best friend from, you know, the Midwest, who's 13-2, didn't get picked up? Why is it Deshaun Johnson? And then they start looking at the background and say, okay, well, you know, who's he fought? What's his credibility? And then they look at it at face value. And they don't really go through the derivation of calling me and asking what went through the matchmaking system of this. They didn't ask how many guys fell out on Deshaun last minute. They didn't ask who was scheduled and contracted to fight at any given time. All they said was, hey, the last two fights and several fights in there don't look right for a guy that should be being pulled up to the UFC. So, for me, the problem lies in the fact that they just never did their homework, and they went out on a witch hunt, and they found out the hard way that I'm not just going to roll over. That's not my MO in life. But let's look at Deshaun as a whole. And I think it's important to look at him as a fighter, and let's first justify why he's there. Deshaun is an excellent boxer. Even though he's 15-15, he's had 30 fights in the ring, many of those on TV, center stage, knocked out number 10 in the world, Adam Trubisch at the time, has fought and trained with Timothy Bradley for the longest time, is now under Roger Mayweather's care out in Las Vegas training with him. He is an accomplished boxer, maybe the best stand-up guy right now in the world of MMA as a boxer, as a pure boxer, most talent that may be out there that has made the jump. He's come to us, his early off career, we didn't challenge him with 10-0 guys because I don't think you should put a 10-0 guy against an 0-0 fighter unless there's a reason to do that. So Deshaun jumps in, he starts training, he starts competing, he starts building up his record. People start feeling him out, seeing that he's actually a good freaking fighter. He's got a wrestling pedigree. He wrestled at Escondido. He was an all-state football player as a D lineman. And he's not a big guy. He was an all-state D lineman in high school for Escondido High. And now all of a sudden you start watching his boxing career, you start watching his MMA career, people start getting a little bit itchy about fighting him. You know, we had some pretty good names contracted to fight him late in his career, and we came up empty the week of, and in one case, the day of the event, because guys pulled out. And we as a company recognize the fact that we have an obligation to the fighter, and that's to try to make a competitive match regardless of what happens through that system. And sometimes we use still fighters at the end of the day to make sure that the fighter that shows up on late, got in, sold his tickets, and is ready to compete, has someone to compete against. And I think that's fair, because it's fair to his fans, it's fair to him, it's fair to the world of MMA. And Deshaun just happened to get into that position with his last couple of fights. I mean, he fought a very tough Brady Harrison, who, if you look at Brady Harrison's record, I mean, here's a guy that has fought, I think, 9 or 10 fights in a row with guys' records well above 800 winning percentage. He just knocked out Joe Pearson out in Iowa. I mean, knocked him out. Joe Pearson jumped guard, and Brady just pounded him. And Joe Pearson's 49-20. So, I mean, Brady's no slouch. So when you start putting a good win on top of everything else, a lot of guys start getting a little bit uncomfortable with that, and they don't want to compete. So Deshaun also brings another part of entertainment to the table that a lot of people don't look at. He's extremely popular. And let's face it, in the world of MMA, it's a world of business and entertainment. The UFC wants fighters that will put eyeballs on TV, will put butts in seats, will put sponsors on the cage, because that's what the name of the game is. The name of the game is to be seen. And Deshaun is the guy that promotes. And he signed with a very high-end management company, and they did a good job. They got him in. And kudos to his management company. Kudos to Deshaun. He's a class act. He's a guy that has all the potential in the world. I'm hoping that his training partner or his training camps have turned up the energy for him over the last couple of weeks. And the proof's in the pudding. Hey, June 28th, he fights. You know, people are going to see Deshaun for what Deshaun is. And we're hopeful that he wins. We're proud of him either way, but I think Deshaun is a long-term player. And whenever you get to the point of making your dreams come true, there's always going to be someone out there who's going to, you know, just step up and say, well, why him and not me? And I think that's what has happened. It's unfortunate because it takes away from Deshaun. Honestly, over the last couple of weeks, guys, I've had more camps and fighters contact me just to compete with me on all ends of where we are, not because they think they're going to get a fiddle fight, but because they respect the fact that regardless of what goes on, they're going to fight. And they're tired of being used and abused, and we do what we can. I'm driving in a truck that has 488,000 miles on it, heading back to my house on a Sunday night. I'm not driving a Maserati. I'm not getting rich off of Deshaun. I'm not getting rich off of fighters. I'm enjoying helping them reach their goals in a fair and consistent manner. And I think that's what my goal as a promoter at this level is all about. And that's where we're at. Uh-oh. I don't hear anybody on the other side.
No, no, no. We're still here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. I was going to wait for you, but I will jump in, Ray. Sorry, I was going to let you jump in, but I want to say, A, I love your honesty and the ability to address this head on like a man and a promoter and an owner of a business. Two, you talked about something at the very end of this statement, and that is the amount of people contacting you. You've got to now be known as one of the companies that can get you to the big show. So has that give you an influx of fighters and gyms from outside your region?
It has. We actually had two guys. I mean, it was kind of special last night. We were 1-1, but we had two fighters from XFF on UFC. We had Pat coming to redeem his loss from Daniel Cormier. But we had Danny Martinez as well, who was our flyweight champion. He caught another decision the wrong way, but two XFF fighters fought last night. We've got a lot of guys that see us as a credible way to get to the next level. And I like working with guys that want to get there. And that's the fun part, because there's always a good story behind these young men. And, you know, I want to say this, and I think maybe it's a little bit overkill to say, but if you look at the promoter landscape in across the U.S., I publish a magazine in Southern California. Is it a great magazine? It's great for me. It's called Collateral Damage MMA. But Collateral Damage MMA is a magazine I try to publish once a quarter to promote nothing but local fighters. Everyone that goes into my magazine is a local fighter. And most of the dollars and cents that it takes to publish that magazine, and it's expensive to publish, comes out of my pocket through the promotions to help promote these fighters. I mean, this is not about... Again, me getting rich on fighters. It's not about me being a rock star to the entertainment community. It's really about me trying to help guys get to the next level. And ultimately, my goal as a promoter is not to be the best next level guy. Okay, my promotion is growing. XFS is growing, and hopefully, in 2015, 2016, when we're up to 30 or 40 events, you know, our goal is to then become what I would call an intermediate-tier MMA organization, and that's someone that is starting to compete up into the Bellator or the UFC, or maybe not UFC, I'm not delusional, but the Bellator-ish kind of ranks. Obviously, King of the Cage is probably on a higher intermediate level, but I'd like to see Explored Fight Series take the next step, but it takes time. We're only 3.5 years into it, and quite honestly, it's been very fun. And I think it's been very rewarding.
Go ahead, Ray. You go.
I was going to touch on something there about fighters not wanting to fight fighters or pulling out because they get scared because they've done their homework on him. And I mean, that's something that I constantly have to go through with my fighters. We'll book a fight, and a week or two later, so-and-so doesn't want to fight him now. You know, so I understand that aspect of it, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, sometimes the only person who will step up and take that fight is somebody who's 1-3, you know, who lost those three fights by split decision. So, you know, they're not really a 1-3 fighter. They could have been 4-0. So they'll step up and take that fight that nobody else would take because they're afraid to fight that guy.
And Ray, let's address that a little bit more. The world of Southern California MMA is different than anywhere else. Okay, we are the mecca of MMA as a whole. There are more UFC fighter, Bellator fighter, World Series of Fighting fighters, 1FC, well, I shouldn't say 1FC, but there are some 1FC fighters out here. This is the hub. San Diego, you have a lot of high-end, from California, high-end MMA fighters. And you as a career, you have to look at your career on both levels. And it would be great to see 2-7-0 guys go at it. But they both have management teams, and they have to look and see if that decision is going to be right for their career, because a lot of these guys, just like Deshaun, is 1 or 2 fighters away from getting picked up. And they know that, and there's strategy out there. there's not a lot of middle guys in the world of MMA in Southern California. They're just not. There's not a lot of guys that are 5-5, 5-6, 6-5, 8-7. And the reason is because the best fighters come to San Diego. There's a lot of guys that come out here to try to be the best fighters. They find themselves 1-3, 2-5. And had they been in a Kansas, had they grown up in a Louisiana or maybe even a Texas, could they be 5-0? Sure. But the level of competition out in California is such, it's heads and tails beyond most areas in the world. So it's hard. It's not easy to find guys that fit in the right way. And there is a financial component to it. Because it's, you know, you can't, some people ask me over the last couple of weeks, well, why don't you bring guys in from New Mexico to fight? Okay, well, a good example. Well, if I've got to fly a fighter in and a corner in, and that person can't help promote themselves, they're not going to sell any tickets, they're not going to promote themselves, you're looking at, every time you have a fight, a $2,500 to $3,000 line item, minimum. There's not enough fans that can make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be honest. That's a valid point that a lot of fans don't even look at is, and I'm the first guy who's like, dude, I'd love to see this guy matched up versus this guy, you know, West Coast, East Coast kind of guys. But at what point does the promoter have to pay attention to, I can sell 1,700 tickets with these two, or I can fly this guy in and sell 900, you know? I mean, the rarity right now that an athlete travels with fans, and I can think of only one amateur right now in the whole country who travels heavily. He had 65 people travel from Arkansas to Washington to fight, and then 52 to Tough Enough to fight. So, you know, that's a rarity in this sport, you know, to guarantee 50, 60 tickets off a fighter coming out of town, unless he's from there. So you have to take that look. If we want a place for fighters to fight, you have to take that into consideration.
Absolutely. Well, let's also finish that by saying, how then do you justify a fighter that can sell 150 tickets local to fly somebody in across the country that's going to sell zero and is going to then potentially be a better fight or maybe even a loss to that guy? And let's be honest. I mean, if a guy's listening in his hometown and sold 150 tickets, it doesn't matter if it's Greg Sharp, King of the Cage, or Bellator. They're not going to bring somebody in who's going to kick the living crap out of the guy who's promoting himself. It just doesn't make sense.
I agree. You know, and, you know, we've got like 5-6 minutes of live air with you left in this segment. So before we run out of time, man, dude, take this time. Any shout-outs, any social media, any information for fighters, managers to contact you, anything like that, anything you want to get out, please take this time.
Oh, and when did you get tickets for the fight?
Okay, well, first off, after the 2.5 weeks of what we've had, I launched Tomato Can MMA, guys, and it's a cartoon T-shirt that just – our first shirts will go out next week for order. So Tomato Can – MMA, go on explodefightseries.com. And here's the good thing. Just as a kind of a in-your-face back to what had happened, every time somebody buys a T-shirt, I'm going to buy a can of food to send to a homeless shelter, and we're going to feed the hungry with these shirts. And you know what? And anything that's bad, I always look for something good, and I think this is something that can really be good. It's a fun T-shirt. There's going to be a series of these T-shirts kind of poking fun at myself and MMA and everything else. Kind of like the Big Johnson T-shirts of when I grew up. So Tomato Can MMA shirts are coming out. That's my one pitch there. We're coming up on our June 20th fight night for the troops. We do a closed show for the Marines out of 29th Pond as a thank you, as a give back. So we've got some really great fights on that card. The return of Sean Loeffler on that card. Sean was a UFC fighter that had cracked his ankle in several places right before his debut with the UFC. He's coming back. Hopefully and get his shot back in the UFC. And then, of course, July 19th, we have our Cerebral show out in Valley Center. We have our amateur show in the afternoon. We have a pro show at night. Then we do our Muay Thai show on the Sunday. So we really put a lot of people through there. We've got a very extensive amateur MMA and Muay Thai program that we use to help build up fighters in terms of confidence and getting them to compete on an amateur level. That's really a big thing that we do to help promote MMA and combat sports as a whole in San Diego. And they're not huge money drivers at all. Actually, they're financial pulls at times, but I think giving back to the community is important, so we do these shows. Buy tickets on the Exploded Fight Series website under tickets. You can start buying tickets anytime you want, as many as you want. I won't stop you. Some of our sponsors that have done a great job for us. Liquid Nitro has been with me through every event. Liquid Nitro is an energy drink out of Riverside, California. Vince Carlone is a terrific owner. It's been a huge support for us. We haven't been able to do what we do without Vince. They're in Circle K's and making their way across the country. And then Mike's Barbecue and Escondido is one of our major sponsors now. They've done a terrific job in hosting our weigh-ins, and they do all of our food and support the community. You can see Mike's Barbecue on Robbie Peralta's shorts, Derek Anderson's shorts, Deshaun Johnson's shorts. Anybody that's the Escondido hometown kid, they're supporting. So they're just great all-around people. I can't say enough of good things about the people that are around us, because they're, at the end of the day, they help balance out the budget and make these opportunities happen for the fighters.
Awesome, awesome. Great. I want to thank you for coming on the show. We definitely want to have you back on again. You know, my show is all about SoCal MMA. And actually, we're having Matt Betzold on later, which is going to be on one of your shows, I believe. And
July 19th. The Leg Breaker is with us for 6 fights. Terrific young man, and we're excited about Matt. He's a class act. He's definitely worth the time of interviewing and keeping in the public's eye, guys. That's a great choice.
Good, thank you. I want to thank you for your time. You have a good night, and we'll definitely have you on the show again. Probably right before that, your next show on July 19th, so we can hype it up a little bit. Yeah, so we'll look forward to having you on again.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate you guys giving me some airtime, and you guys have a great finish to Sunday and have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ray, I love talking to that guy. I like the fact that he addressed that stuff so honestly. I really do. He didn't sugarcoat anything.
Exactly. Give me a whole different perspective on the situation. And,
yep.
It was great. I really want to get him on again and talk to him about some other things.
Yeah, now that that's out of the way, the next show we can just literally talk shop.
Exactly. So we have our next guest on the line, correct?
Yep, he is live right now.
All right, I want to welcome Jay Tan to the show. He's a part of U of MMA, which is one of the biggest amateur promotions out here in the Los Angeles area. They put on some awesome fights, great matchmaking. They're at Club Nokia right here in L.A. They have probably the best-looking belt in the business other than the UFC belt. Their belt is badass.
I love hearing that. Thank you.
you're welcome. So how you doing today, Jay?
I'm good, man. How's the day and how's your weekend been there?
Going good. Got to hang out with and meet your partner, Terry, the other day. At the UFC gym at Jonathan Santa Maria's event.
I wish I could have been there for that, man. Jonathan had told me about it, and I planned on being there, and then I ended up getting pulled to Vegas for other business. Among them was seeing the Tough Enough 20th anniversary show at the Thomas and Mack, and I got to say right off the bat, props, kudos, and congratulations, and all great things to Jeff and the Meyer family and Tough Enough staff. They packed in there 14,489 people, I believe, was the final number for an amateur show. You know?
Yeah.
It was a huge crowd, and they were hot too. I mean, this was it was a great crowd. Really interesting because I don't think it was your average tough enough crowd. We were I was talking with some other friends. You know, I've been going to those shows since probably like I think 2008 or so. You know, at different venues that they've been at the South Point Casino, Orleans Hotel for a long time. It's been their residency, and you know, this is the first time they went to the Thomas and Mack. And you know, they in my earlier years in MMA. When I first started working with Turi Altavilla, it was at Pride. I worked the last two Pride events, and yeah, I texted Turi about Tough Enough when I was there when they announced the number, and he said, congrats to them. They beat Pride Fighting at that same venue. So, yeah, hats off to Tough Enough and the Meyer family. Great people.
You know, before we get any further into this, why don't you give our listeners a little background into Yuba MMA and what you do for them?
Okay, well, I am the matchmaker for University of MMA. It was founded by Turi Altavilla and myself. Turi and I have been working together since 2007 at various different fight promotions. We met through a friend in common a little bit before that, but didn't start working together until I was already in MMA. The first group promotion that I worked with was the WFA, World Fighting Alliance. It was the show where they had relaunched. It was in 2006. The headline was headlining event turned out to be Boss Rutten making his comeback versus Ruben Villarreal, Warpath. And that was a last-minute replacement. He was supposed to fight Chemo at the time. And then under that was Rampage Jackson versus Matt Lillett, which is a great fight. You know, unfortunately, the WFA didn't last long. And from there, I jumped to Pride, where Turi Altavilla was. Turi is one of the OGs of the sport. He's been involved in MMA since the late 90s, working for a long time with Tony Troublecock at King of the Cage. Then he went to Pride, and he was there for a number of years. And, I mean, you know, when you talk about MMA history, Turi has seen and been involved in a lot of fascinating MMA history, you know, in tidbits. That guy's got stories for days. So Turi and I, you know, Pride, of course, ended as it did in 2007. And then Turi and I ended up in several different promotions after that, kind of one after the other. We were at Pro Elite together. He worked with Elite XC, and I worked with a lot of the other. Pro Elite was this company that, you know, kind of came on the scene. They had their own American brand called Elite XC and had champions and stars like Kimbo Slice, Gina Carano, Nick Diaz, KJ Nunes. But then they had also bought up all these other smaller fight promotions throughout the world. Cage Rage in England, which had a great name at the time. I believe they bought up Rumble on the Rock and Icon Sport. Icon Sport was CJ Thompson's promotion in Hawaii. And of course, Rumble on the Rock was done by the Penn family. And they also had a partnership with a group in Korea called Spirit MC. So it was a great moment for me in my career because I got to see how MMA was done throughout the world. Whereas, you know, they also were involved in King of the Cage, I should say. You know, Elite XC was the flagship of this larger company called Pro Elite. And, and I got to see how all these smaller ones did their business, which is really interesting. In retrospect, it feeds to what I'm doing with the U of MMA or what Turi and I are doing. Anyway, that was up until about 2008. And then in 2010, between those 2 years, Turi and I were regulators and inspectors for CAMO throughout California. And so that's how we really got to know the amateur scene. Amateur, a lot of people don't realize, amateur has only been around since 2009. You know, it's still a relatively new thing. And it's fascinating to think, you know, now we have legacy from CAMO all the way to the top of the UFC food chain. TJ Dillashaw and Ronda Rousey are both veterans of the CAMO amateur system here. We were inspecting and working other shows from 08 to 10. Sometimes together, sometimes separately. And then in 2010, he sat me down and said, you know what, dude, we should be doing this. You know, we've been working for so many people for so long. we should start up our own thing. And so the University of MMA was the name that he had in mind. That was all his design. And from there, we just slowly and surely grew. Our first show was at Avalon Hollywood in April of 2011. And since then, we've grown. And our residency now, as you said, is at Club Nokia in downtown LA, just across the street from Staples Center. So it's a nice, fun, you know, upscale venue. It's kind of like a night out on the town, fight night kind of experience. And I believe we're up to, I think we've done about 12 shows, 14 cumulatively, if you include the one at Lake Elsinore, which actually Turi wasn't even at, believe it or not. That was a partnership with a venue, kind of a one-time thing. And then there was the very first show, which we were hired more, kind of as a gun for hire, I'd say. Turi likes to work through with a show zero. This was in September 2009. Sorry.
Now, Oh, go ahead. Go finish. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that was we were hired. It was a gun for hire, as I said, on behalf of Camo, because it was the first. That was the first year, and that was one of the first shows of their state MMA tournament. And at that point, it was much bigger. It was bigger in scope. They were going, you know, region by region. Then it would or county by county. Then region by region, and then I think NorCal versus Southern California. That was the finals. That was an experiment. Really, a really large scope experiment. So we did one of the very first shows of the Camo tournament, and that's what Trey refers to as show zero. We worked it, but it wasn't really a U of MMA show per se. So, we're chugging along. This has been a great year for us, really. We've done, go ahead.
So I was going to say, what I really liked about you guys is, you know, me and you as a manager, you know, we've emailed a couple of times. I've never really got able to get one of my fighters on your shows. But what I really liked about you when I met you a couple months ago when Mike Rush introduced us at Sparstar is you support local MMA. You're at other amateur shows. You're not the type that's like, no, it's my show or nothing. You're out there supporting these other shows, and I think that's awesome because that's what we need out here in Southern California, especially on the amateur level, even the pro level out here. You know, support local MMA regardless.
Yeah, you know, the pond isn't big enough for all of us to have our own lily pads and to ignore everybody else's. We have to cooperate, and that's, you know, Turi and I think, are just wired that way. We'd rather work with somebody than work against them. And that's, you know, I was going to say, that's something that we recognized early on in. I think in the early years of Camo, a lot of promoters were looking at each other kind of sideways, sizing them up, trying to figure out, all right, who's going to be my competition? And I think we all quickly realized a lot of the time we're pulling from the same talent pool. So, you know, it can be competitive, but at the same time, that same promoter that you might be trying to go against and get, you know, get the same talent, the next time around, you're going to end up going, shit, I don't know if I can say that, but it's internet radio. We probably can, right?
Yes, sir. You're fine.
So, you know, you realize later, I don't have enough fighters. I don't have the right fighters. I need to call some people and ask around. Who do I end up calling? Other promoters, you know. So it's, and on top of that, I mean, the other guys that have stayed in the game are cool to work with, and girls as well, I should say. You know, the Lipnickies up in Woodland Hills, Fight Night Entertainment, they're sweethearts. Heather Hyatt, of course. She's got her hands in all kinds of different fight cards throughout Southern California. And, T-Bone Steaks, Tony Padilla, runs a great show at Sparstar. So, it's just easier to work with people than not. And, frankly, if you're one guy, for lack of a better phrase, you know, one promoter wins out and gets a fighter over another promoter, it's not like you've really gotten a cash cow. You've gotten a guy to fill in a slot, you know. So there's a bigger picture involved, I think, and that's why it's important for us to cooperate, you know, as much as we can. You can have friendly and respectful competition. I mean, that's what we want from the fighters, so the best way to teach them that is to demonstrate it by our own business behavior, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. And, I mean, as a manager, I never want my fighters to fight for just one promotion. I stay away from exclusive contracts, whether it's amateur or pro. And we want them to get that experience, and we want to deal with the different promotions. So, I mean, that's awesome that promoters can work together like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is, there's enough room for us all to work together. I mean, sometimes it can be, we can kind of end up butting heads in terms of our schedule. You know, we might run day on the same weekend or within 1 or 2 weeks, but it all works out. Hey, another case in point, you know, our last show, Fight Night 7, happened just a week ago, actually, a week ago today. And the day before that, Savant Young was running his Proving Ground show at Fight Academy. You and I, and certainly a lot of people listening to the show, have known Savant for a very long time. And, you know, he's got a fun gym show there. The crowd's always hot, and the matches, you know, the guys always come to bring it. You know, and you would think that we're going head-to-head on the same weekend. You think that we would, we'd be kind of avoiding each other and stuff. We were trading names and numbers on Facebook, man. You know, it's like, what do you got? What do you need? I got this. What can you exchange? There is room for that. It's a small community, and you just can't afford to piss off people, you know, not to the point of that you end up ruining your own name more so than the person that you piss off, I think.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And when is your guys' next show coming up?
The next one is going to be August 24th. We're taking a little bit of a break throughout the summer. Since December, we were turning around four shows back to back to back to back within a 2-month span, and you know that's a pretty fast turnaround for amateur fight promoters. It's like I think 2 3/4 or 2.5 months break, so not a long one, but we'll be back at Cuddlepia on Sunday the 24th of August, Fight Night 8. And just starting to build the card up a little bit here.
Hey, Ray, let me jump in real quick. Two things. One, who do I talk to about getting Madhouse on your press release list so we can get all the press releases posted on our website for you guys?
Oh, man, I would love that. I'm humbled and appreciative. Just hit me up. I handle a lot of the media relations, JAYTAN at uofmma.com. We've also got a great guy that helps us out with media relations named Doug Geller. He goes to Ithaca College in upstate New York, originally where I'm from, ironically. And he was out with us earlier this year. He worked with us from January to I think it was May, mid-May or so. And just was a huge help. He's got a PR background. He's an aspiring PR and media relations guy, it was a huge resource, so we're kind of expanding the team here as much as we can, you know, bit by bit.
Now, my next question is, you've had the opportunity to work with fighters, obviously, at every level around the world. If an amateur fighter came to you and said, I want to start fighting internationally, and you know there's an opportunity, is that something you would support for them for the experience level right away, or do you think they should wait till they're pros?
That's a really good question. It's a mixed bag. On one level, he's an amateur fighter, and when you're an amateur, experience is important. That's what amateur is about. You know, when you turn pro, your record starts back at zero. And granted, people can look up, in this day and age, people can look up your amateur record, but it's when you're pro that you've decided to make this at least a semi-career, and money is involved, and you think about the bigger picture. At the amateur level, it's about experience. So fighting abroad, that would definitely be an awesome experience. You got to be careful, though, because you don't know what you're getting into. With the U.S., you know, there are at least, I think most states have some form of amateur amateur regulating body. In California, obviously, we have CAMO. I would suggest if you're going to go, at least start fighting in start your international journey in a place that is predominantly English-speaking. Just because that way you're going to have a better sense of what you're getting into. You can ask questions. You can get information better. But fighting in Korea or Japan or Brazil or, you know, India, it's fascinating. You can't lose an experience whenever you go abroad, no matter what you do. You know, and fighting, even more so. But obviously there's chance for more pitfalls if you're fighting in a place that's not a non-English speaking country and you speak English. Yeah, but by the same token, Mexican fighters, if they have an opportunity to fight in Spain and they can get along fine there, you know, operating, shoot, why not? Yeah.
Well, the biggest reason I ask is I personally, you know, working with MMA Madhouse, we deal almost strictly, with local MMA throughout the world. That's what we go at. We don't push UFC at all on our website. We try to promote all the, amateur fighters on shows like this and interviews. But in the last 9 months, I know of 56 amateur fighters that have been flown up to Canada to fight. And I hear it's a financial reason. It's cheaper to fly fighters up from the States than it is from East Coast to West Coast Canada, and that's the reason why. And that's why I'm asking, because you have dealt with pros and amateurs, and I know we tell pros all the time, travel while you're young and get paid to do it and fight, But as an amateur, I was really curious about your opinion about them taking fights internationally at a young age and young experience.
Yeah. Well, Canada technically is international, but in the world of MMA, I don't know that I would qualify it as such. Obviously, it's a different country and, not the 51st state. I've got mad love for Canada. It's a beautiful country and fantastic people. But, that's a great example of going abroad. If you're talking just Canada, to the same extent, anywhere in the U.S., you can operate as an amateur fighter and, gain experience. Now, the trick is that you won't – the farther out that you go, you will mean less tickets for that local promoter. So you got to be careful that he's not setting you up to be the tomato can for some guy that's put a whole bunch of butts in seats. Chances are you are that guy. Chances are you are facing that guy. But as long as your skill set complements that guy and it's an even fight, then by all means, I think you should go for it. But you do want to be careful. There is that added extra incentive, because otherwise, if you're flying out, a time zone or two to another place, you clearly don't mean tickets to that local promoter, because your fans, your friends and family are not going to travel those time zones, So it can be a mixed bag. It comes down to that age-old adage of knowing what you're getting yourself into,
Jay, you've got some great, great answers to our questions here. I'm loving it. We're running out of time now. We definitely have to get you on before the next show. To promote.
I would love it, man. Yeah. Okay, so that would be fantastic.
I want to thank you for coming on. Right now is your time. Go ahead and shout out anybody. You want to shout out any sponsors, any business partners. Go ahead. This is your time. Go for it.
big ups to bodybuilding.com, who have been fantastic supporters of us. WSS Shoes as well. Those guys have been longtime supporters of the U of MMA. Turi Altavilla and myself, are very proud of the product we've built and the fighters that we have coming through our show. Myself, I'll give a quick plug here. Interesting project that I'm working on over the summertime. Art Davey, a lot of people don't necessarily know that name, but they're going to. He is the creator of UFC 1, believe it or not. And he has finally written his tell-all book. It's called Is This Legal? It is, it's going to be released July 1st, and the publisher has brought me on as the media relations guy for the MMA community. So, it's fortuitous that I'm talking to you guys, because I'll be talking business with you guys about getting on Art on your show in the future. It's a really interesting read, and anybody that's the least bit of an MMA buff definitely should pick up this book. It's available for advanced orders right now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and then it'll also be in bookstores as of July 1st. So that's what's going on there.
Awesome. Awesome, Mike. So I want to thank you for coming on. You know what, next time we need to get you on for a whole show. You know, one segment is just not enough.
So, you know, man, I would love it, man.
Definitely we'll work that out where we can get you on for a whole show, and we'll have it coincide with either the book release or the fight, and mm-hmm. I mean, or both. You know, we just want to promote local MMA, and you guys are one of the top dogs out there. And
I'm down, man. The pleasure is mine.
No, it's all mine, and thank you for coming on, and we look forward to having you again. You go ahead and have a good night now.
You too. Take care, fellas.
Hey, thanks, Jay, and you'll be hearing from me real soon, brother. Man, great show. Just, I mean, it's been an action-packed show of guests, man. I mean, we've had great conversations with two great promoters in California and guys tied to the business in different realms throughout their career. So I can't wait. And next up, you know who we got, and I'll let you go ahead and bring on this killer.
You know, killer is right. You know, they call him the leg breaker, but this guy is, I call him the headhunter because of this thing he's got with these severed heads. He's truly an inspiration to me. You know, I lost a leg about a year and a half ago. I got put in contact with Matt by Steve Romero from Fight Me, and seeing what he's accomplished as an amputee, it's just awesome. I want to welcome Matt Bedfold on the show.
Guys, what's up? Thanks for having me. What's up, Ray?
What's up, Matt? You know, I wanted to have you on the show since we started, bro. You know, you're fighting out here with Explode now. Definitely SoCal MMA, and that's what we showcase. Why don't you give our listeners around the world a little taste of who Matt is?
Well, I'm first and foremost, a husband, a father, you know, a trainer, a coach, a fighter, a friend, a brother, you know, everything of that, you know, all that. I fight for all the right reasons. I am willing to put my name on the line with any fighter, whether it's the top fighter or the bottom of the barrel. I'm here just to basically give the fans what they deserve. It's a good show. I'm here to make it to the top of my division where I belong and just get to the end of the rainbow, man. You know what I mean?
Sounds good. And, I mean, you know, you're just out there, and you're beating fools left and right. What is your record right now?
Right now, 5-3 as a pro. Undefeated at flyweight. So no way has been able to get out of the first round with me. So I'm proud of that. And I'm going to continue that to on my way to the top. So I think if I'm trying to make it to the bigger shows, then I need to finish these guys in these lower, you know, these minor shows that finish them fast and let them know that they don't belong in the ring with me. That's my you know, game plan, is just to finish guys as fast as I can.
Definitely. And, you know, like I stated before, you were an inspiration to me. Because of you, I actually wanted to fight, and, you know, I was training to do so.
For real? Go ahead.
Yeah. I decided not to, not because of being an amputee, just because my sheer age. You know, I'm going to be 40 years old in a couple months, and I'm just too pretty to get hit in the face.
Yeah, I mean, you said what? What was that last part?
I said, I'm just too pretty to get hit in the face.
Oh. Oh, shit. No, that's funny. No, that means that's awesome. We're here, bro. Hey.
I mean, I step in there and I spar with my guys every now and then when I'm able to get out there to their training sessions. So, I mean, you know, the fighting aspect isn't the issue. It's just my sheer age and other injuries I've had, you know, playing football all my life, and it just, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, and I'm much happier on the management side of it. And now on the media side.
No. I remember when you lost your leg, bro. I saw it on a post. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. And, you know, I checked out some of these other, you know, amputee Facebook pages. And, you know, I tripped out because, you know, a lot of these people were hitting rock bottom. And, you know, for me, it was just coming back from another injury. You know, I played sports my whole life. I had some major injuries, and I just had to come back from it, and that's what this was. You know, I had my kids depending on me and my fight team depending on me. You know, I drew my inspiration from them, from you. And it's like I never, ever felt sorry for myself. It was just like, you know, what Matt's out there doing it. You know, my fight team needs me. My kids need me. I just need to be able to walk quick. And then On top of that, I was the best man at my brother's wedding, so I had to push myself to be able to walk down that aisle, you know, sooner than the doctors thought I could walk. And, I mean, that's why I see some of these social network sites, and these people are all depressed, and it's like, crying about it's not going to make
it
better.
Stop being a pussy, dude. That's what I'm just...
Yeah.
No, for real, dude. I know exactly what you're saying. I usually put no comment, but yeah, dude, for real, you know, if you go, the way I look at it is, if you go through your life and the only thing that bad that happened to you is you lost a leg or two, you did pretty damn good, man.
Exactly.
That's the only thing you ever lost is just your legs. You're good. Solid.
Now, you know, tell us, what made you want to get into MMA, you know, knowing that it was going to be an uphill battle?
I didn't know it was going to be an uphill battle at first. I went in there thinking that people and everybody would embrace my talent and, you know, my heart and drive. So, yeah, but I started, you know, I guess it started when I was, you know, going through high school or, you know, elementary school, all through high school, just fighting just because it's something to do. And I always stood up for myself. I wasn't one to get walked all over. You know, it wasn't one to be like, yeah, I'm handicapped or I'm disabled or, yeah, I'm on the, you know, I'm not, like, you know, looking for a pity party type thing. It was my attitude growing up. And in fact, I had, you know, five brothers, you know, instilling that in my brain that, you know, that I wasn't a punk or whatever growing up. That's the way I was raised. So I guess that's where it started. And then from just from fighting in high school, then I would get in trouble a lot. And basically, you know, my brother brought me into a gym after watching a Raging Cage event. And that's where it all started for me. And I kind of just started training. And they're doing, like, grappling tournaments. And I was always in the wrestling room with the wrestling team growing up, and I worked a little bit of boxing and kickboxing. So I was, like, always involved in martial arts, just not on a serious competitive level until I was about 17. You know, like, watching, like, martial arts movies and stuff like that is where it all started. And Gracie's a big part of it. Mike Tyson, Bruce Lee, all those guys, you know? Chuck Norris.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, was never really a Steven Seagal fan, though. I mean, I'm just going to be honest.
you know what? I was just talking about Steven Seagal and how he's taking a lot of credit for that front kick. And he's even got
that's
his own
BS.
Character.
Dude, you know, it's funny you say that. You brought him up because last night Friday night, we did live interviews with the fighters in Rough China right as they walked to the cage, you know, right before they walked to the cage to fight. And one of the guys we interviewed, he's like, I want to thank my mom, my dad, Steven Seagal. I was like, what? Steven Seagal?
That's all marketing, man. That's just us, you know.
No disrespect to Steven Seagal, but if you've ever seen his movies, he runs like a girl.
You said it, not me, bro.
Dude, I'm
now
curious.
He's going to find me and whoop my ass now, especially because, you know, I know a lot of people are black out.
He ain't whooping nobody, bro. You guys caught me on guard. I wasn't really ready for an interview. I was just hanging out by the pool with my kids. And I know Ray did tell me about an interview on Sunday. I didn't, you know, I was waiting for the call. So, you know.
Cool. Now, you know, you were saying, you know, you don't consider yourself handicapped. I mean, you know what, me either. I don't. Until I need to find parking. That's the only time that I like being handicapped.
Well, when you're at Disneyland with your kids and every freaking parking place is taken and your wife's yelling at you, you would have a handicapped parking spot. We could park right there.
Exactly.
Tell you, dude.
Oh, I love it.
Now, you're fighting July 19th at Explode. You know,
yeah.
Who's your opponent? You know, what's going on with that? What's going on with your... with Explode, we just had Greg on the show. I know a couple other guys fighting on.
Oh, you just had Greg Sharp on the show?
Yeah, he was on. He was our first guest on today.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I didn't even know.
Yeah, so tell us what's going on with that. You know, who's your opponent? Where can they get tickets?
Okay, you get on tickets on ExplodeFightSeries.com, and you just log on, and it pretty much is self-explanatory. It'll walk you through it. You can... also get them from any fighter that's fighting on the card. It's going to be a great show, I know that. I have lot of friends that are fighting that night. So, yeah, she's going to be awesome. I'm fighting, my opponent is Jimmy Marquez. And, you know, he's looking to come take my head off, and I'm looking to stop him. I mean, it's going to be a good fight. I know that. He's a scrapper for sure. Can I give a prediction?
Go ahead, bro.
I'm saying ref stoppage in under a minute and a half. Whether it's a submission or a... Huh?
I got to get out there for this fight.
You're going to get out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
I'm definitely going to get out there for that. You know, I want to see that stoppage. And just be out there and chill with you for a minute, too.
Yeah, are you guys pretty close from there?
I'm about 2 hours away.
Right on.
Okay, let me ask you this. You know, it's been an uphill battle for you trying to get opponents to fight you. You know, guys are coming into it. It's a lose-lose situation for them because they're going to get their ass whooped. And they're going to get their ass whooped to a guy with one leg. How do you feel that Nick in Bellator is, he's there at a major organization and you're still fighting to get to a major organization?
Who's in Bellator?
World Series.
Nick. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
Nick knows in World Series. Oh, yeah, that's what I was like. Nick got switched over? That's what I was like, yeah. No, Nick is in World Series of Fighting, yeah.
We're
in his spot, obviously, with his run with the XFC. So, I mean, and, you know, the more he wins, the better for me. So, yeah, I mean, I support Nick 100%.
Cool,
I'd like
cool.
to meet the guy someday. But I know eventually I'll get there. It's not like, it's not the race, you know. Like,
oh, no. I mean, I'm sure you'll get there the way you're running through your competition.
Yeah,
it's
funny because Nick and I have been talking this whole time, you know, since we both
cool.
started fighting. We've kind of been, like,
cool,
been talking
cool.
the whole time.
Now, what's going on with Wheelchaired Warriors? Are you still involved with them?
Well, yeah, I support them. I mean, you can find two guys in wheelchairs that want to punch each other's faces in. All the power to them. I'll support it. I'm not like, you know, a lot of people would, you know, maybe turn their heads or look negative towards something like that, but I don't see a problem. But yeah, I'll support them if it becomes material and not just talked about, you know. I've been hearing about that an event for a while and I'm waiting on it, so yeah.
I'm not going to get
in a wheelchair and fight anybody. In a wheelchair is not really my thing, but I'll support it for sure.
No, I agree with you because, you know, they're trying to get me involved, and, like I said, I'll support them too. You know, my issue with them is they wanted to do MMA in wheelchairs.
I guess you buy it,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And, they're like, oh, well, you can take them down in the wheelchair. Somebody can get hurt that way really bad. You know, I'd rather start off on my knees than in a wheelchair. Well, that was my issue with that. But, I mean, I give them my full support.
It could be another, Paralympic, Special Olympic sport, dude. Or, you know, Paralympic, I think. Yeah, it's Paralympic. So, yeah, I could absolutely see boxing and wheelchair boxing be Paralympics all day. If it had the right, you know, numbers and support behind it, for sure.
Definitely.
Even if it's not, it's still cool. So...
You know, I've seen that you have your own gym and your garage. Where else are you training at?
Well, I train right now at Ultimate Fitness and Family Fitness as well. Family Fitness is when I go with my kids and stuff, and the kids, they got the kids club, and then I do the MMA stuff over at Ultimate Fitness. We got the top guys over there, you know. Exactly what I need. Great environment out here in California. I'm, you know, an Arizona boy my whole life. Been out here for almost a year. So I'm just trying to grow with the sport, grow with my style, grow, you know, as far as future, you know, feeding the youth with the martial arts and what I know, just passing my knowledge down. And I find, you know, the more I teach, the more technical I get, you know, with my own competitiveness. Or, you know, my own technique, skill. Yeah, I mean, I was pointed out to Sacramento for a reason, and I'm finding that, you know.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And you know what? And the invitation is always open for you to come on and train with us out here in L.A. You know, we got some great fighters out here, especially, you know, around your weight. We got some good 135ers, 125ers.
What was the name of the gym?
It's called Systems in Hawthorne. Our head coach, Ian Harris, he's on top of being a comedian. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a great guy to work with.
So he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He's a funny guy that'll break your arm.
Definitely.
You like him already, dude.
Exactly. So you don't laugh at his jokes. He's arm barring somebody.
Yeah.
You know, a quick plug for Ian. He just announced today he's doing a comedy show on pay-per-view August 12th. So if anybody wants to check that out, Ian Harris is his name. You know, August 12th is the pay-per-view for his comedy show.
August 12th, huh? Dean Harris. Oh, yeah? And that's your instructor?
Yeah, he's our head coach at Systems.
Oh, yeah?
You know, let me ask you, with obviously your notoriety starting to build and with obviously Newell being kind of a successor for you and seeing how he built his career and fans, what, you know, you mentioned talking to him. What do you think's the greatest piece of advice he's given to you right now?
Oh, they can't deny us forever, you know, as long as we keep winning. And, I've taken a lot from Nick's story, and you know, him and I have a lot of similarities, a lot of differences, and for sure. Yeah, he said definitely one thing that stands out that I can remember off the top of my head is I always remember once, you know, he was getting a lot of fights, and I was having trouble getting a lot of fights, you know, and he seemed like his management team was just like, you know, on top of things, you know, and I was kind of struggling at one time. And I remember just talking about it, like, hey, bro, you know, what's up? You know, I'm having trouble getting a fight. It's been, like, you know, more than a year since my last fight, you know, just getting frustrated. And, you know, it was one of those times in my life that I was, you know, thinking about giving up and stuff. And, yeah, dude, we talked a little bit. And one thing you said in that conversation, and I'll have to go back now. You mentioned that you know, back on Facebook when we talked, and see exactly what you said. But something like, you know, regardless – how hard is it if we just keep fighting and keep winning that, you know, things will turn around, you know? And I remember that. So I had a lot of conversations with him off and on. Never met the guy, though, man. It was ironic because he was out in Phoenix, or in Tempe, last year, about the same time that I moved out to Sacramento. So the one time that I had to meet him, I moved to Sacramento like 2 months prior. That's pretty. Yeah, man.
Cool, cool. So how are you liking out in Cali right now?
Dude, I love it, bro. I can grow anything I want, bro. It's awesome.
Nice.
I got a huge garden in my backyard. I've noticed since I got out here that it's been a lot easier to get people to come train in my garage because I've always had mats in my house, you know, since I can remember, you know, and, it's always hard to get people to come train consistently. Like, I get people to come train all the time, off and on, but the consistent level has definitely changed since I got out here in California. I don't know if it's something in the air or the water or what. It seems like, you know, fitness is a big thing out here. So that's one thing, you know, plus that's come with this. I've met a lot of cool people. It's kind of forced me to get out of my shell and my comfort zone because everything I know is in Phoenix, Arizona. So, you know, it's a sink or swim out here, man. And I don't have much support with my family out here. It's kind of like I'm isolated, you know, with the exception of pretty much the only people I hang out with here are my neighbors and my gym people. That's it. It's pretty cool
nice,
out here.
Nice.
Perfect,
now,
man.
You know,
it's perfect.
Now, I know when you came out to Cali, I tried to get you to go with check out my boy DK or Bombs First. Did you ever get a hold of him and get him to sponsor you?
What's his name? Which one?
DK from Bombs First.
I did talk to him, actually. He was working on getting me some fights and stuff, and I don't know whatever happened to it. I know we said that we were going to, you know, talk. I don't know. I have met him since then in person at the Panic. And where else did I meet him? I met him at West Coast a few times, too, West Coast Fighting Championship. So, I mean, nothing ever came of it. I do know the guy in it. Hello?
Next time you see him, tell him that I said to give you a sponsorship.
Tell Ray Lopez? You put him in a chokehold if you don't?
That's right.
All right, bro.
DK's my boy.
Well, hey,
I'll hook you up.
I'll tell you what. Obviously, you're impressing the fans because I got fans in Halifax, up in Canada. That's four time zones away. They are loving you. I'm getting messages. Great inspiration. Great attitude. You know. So what you're doing, son? You're doing it right.
Thank you. I'm just being myself, bro, just trying to, you know, live my life and have fun with a smile at the same time, you know? Thank you, bro. That's awesome that you guys, you know, remember to call me.
Well, definitely. I've been wanting to have you on the show from day one. And, you know, the thing that I like about you most is you're not an amputee fighter. You're a fighter who happens to be missing a leg.
I'm a three-legged fighter, man. I got three legs in case one breaks. Yeah, I keep telling everybody this. Nobody seems to get it, dude. My third one's the biggest. It's a little larger than my other two, though. That you know? So.
Hey, you know, let me ask you. You know, you're living in SoCal. You got a family. You know,
NorCal.
I'm sorry. If you're not.
Sorry, bro.
If you're not, like, training for a fight or working in the gym and you get your family away for a weekend, what is something typical you guys would go do for fun?
We hang out at the river, Sacramento River, the American River, for the most part. It's not very expensive to spend the day out there. You know, I got people that have boats and canoes. We do kayaking, stuff like that out here. That's what I've done so far. We want to go to see the sequoias. And, you know, a lot of the national parks out here. I heard there's a lot of waterfalls. And, you know, we've already been to, I think, was it up north? Is it Tonto Lake is the name of it? Or, I don't know, one of these lakes out here, the National Lake. So, I mean, Lake Tahoe, yeah. I can't remember the name. But, yeah, Lake Tahoe, I've been there one time. I want to go to San Francisco, but... yeah, I mean, there's lots of things we want to do out here. And I'm excited because the kids just got off school, so we're looking to do some of that for the summer. I just got to balance my time out with my training camp. That's it. So.
Oh, that's cool. You know, the attitude that you have has got to be something that's great for your children to be around, that don't give up, don't quit, don't worry about what people think attitude. I mean, is this something that was instilled in you through your parents, or is this something you've just come to live by?
Oh, my brothers, you know, big part of it. My mom and dad, yeah, are a big part of it as well. So, yeah, just having a family support, I think, coming from a big family. My aunts, my uncles, you know, my grandma, they all just, you know, never really treated me different. I think a lot of it comes just not, you know, accepting someone treating you different or, you know, letting someone play that pity party song for you. And, you know, not trying to, you know, smallest violin in the world playing for the world to hear. That's not my story, you know? And just that kind of, I guess, is what started it.
Now, you know, Matt, for the people who don't know, explain to us about the severed heads.
The severed head, it's all the Dodgers that have been dodging me my whole career, man, amateur all the way in my professional career to current, you know? It's one of the main reasons I signed with Greg and, you know, Explode Fight Series is they're guaranteeing me and they're going to give me these fights, and they showed that they could do that. So it seems like, well, these organizations, they want me to fight so bad, but they don't want me to fight so bad enough to make their guys quit dodging me. It's like they let their guys dodge me. So the severed heads is for all those little buster fighters that, you know, claim to be fighters, but they don't want to fight anybody worth the fuck. Or, you know what I mean? It's part of my language. And, you know, Henry Cejudo and John Morata are the team captains of Team Dodger. And, you know, they've been dodging me all this time. And just it's a lot of, you know, people from Phoenix that ask any flyweight from Phoenix, Arizona, or Sacramento, California, why they won't fight Matt Bessel. And you know, that they represent the severed heads, those guys. I'm coming for them, you know?
Nice. I love it. I love it.
You know, I remember a while back, too, you get into with the promoter out there in AZ who started talking shit. And
who, Joe Lopez?
Yeah, when he called you.
I shouldn't even have mentioned his name, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I had to chime in on that when he called you he called you something like a freak show or something like that.
Freak
and
show,
yeah.
And
I was
belong
like,
in MMA.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, you know what? Why don't you call me that and I get your ass whooped by a one-legged fool? Come on now.
That show's a joke. They got a bunch of bum fighters and they claim to be the top-notch guys. So, whatever. One thing I do want to ask for the record, just want to let everyone know that, you know, may think the severed head is the WWE or the WE type gimmick shit, and it's not. It means a lot to me. It's for real. These guys, they've been dodging me for a long long time, bro. Finally, you know, I've been quiet about it so long, and the heads is, you know, me letting the public know, hey, here's some names that have been dodging me for a long time. So,
you know, and it's going to get to the point where they're not going to be able to dodge you anymore if they want to go further in the sport.
Exactly. That's my game plan. So, I think eventually it's just a matter of time, so I just got to be patient. If you notice, since I've been getting these regular fights, I stopped with the whole head thing because it's just a matter, you know what I mean? Because, you know, eventually I'll get the guys, they'll have to fight me eventually, and I just got to keep winning.
Definitely.
But that's the great thing about your attitude is you're like, look, sooner or later they've got to face me. I'll stay focused on my task at hand, and when that road crosses, I'll smash them. And I think that's a great attitude. I think amateurs out there should really look at that kind of attitude that you're carrying in your career, because the guys who say they are the best, sooner or later they face the other guys who say they're the best. It's just that's the beast in this sport.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I try to just smile. I might, you know.
You know, Matt, you fight at a lower weight class. How much weight do you have to cut for your fights?
I walk around about 145, 150, and cut to 125. So 25 pounds.
Okay, so
25 pounds.
When you're in training camp, what is the one thing you miss most when you got to cut weight?
One thing I miss most when I got cut weight?
Yeah.
I miss, are you talking about the last, so my weight cut really starts about the last week. I train up until then, and, you know, I gradually, are you talking about the last week is the hardest part? So
last week I missed
no sodiums and no, or below 50 grams of carbs. That's always tough.
I mean, there's some fighters where it's like donuts are their weakness. You know, that's the one thing they miss the most. You know, we're talking Savant Young. Couple weeks ago, he misses beer the most when he's in training camp.
I miss sugars, I miss carbs and sodiums, and the limited amount of water towards the last couple of days before the weigh-ins.
Cool,
that's the hard
part.
That's what I miss, and that's the hardest. The sugar, man, because sugar and carbs are in everything. So to watch your, you know, to try to stay below 50 carbs. It's hard, very hard.
Definitely, that's why I'm not a fighter, I'm a manager.
That's why I work on a microphone. Yeah, I need, like, I got like a 10,000-day calorie diet.
Yeah,
10,000 calories? Seriously?
No, I'm still joking. No, that's a sumo calorie diet for a sumo fighter in training. I just threw that out there because I always think that's funny because they're supposed to eat 10,000 calories a day and take two naps consisting of at least 4 hours.
What, fighters?
I need to be
sumo fighters. Yep, sumo fighters.
I need to get into that. I really do need to get into that. You know, I have one of my oldest buddies. You know, we're trying to open a gym, so we're looking for locations, and, you know, so we're driving around looking for locations, and, you know, we stop and eat lunch, and he's like, fool, we need to get this gym open quick because I'm getting too much weight hanging out with you looking for this place to open it up at. Hanging out with me, you're going to gain 30, 40 pounds.
That's what
I'm saying. You got to hang out. Yeah. To be a champ, you got to hang out with the champs, right?
Yep.
Right.
That's why I came over to Ultimate Fitness, man. That's one of the reasons.
Now, Matt, one person in history that you would love to fight. It could be a fighter. It could be a public figure. Who's the one person you would like to get in the cage?
Justin Bieber, bro.
Oh.
Justin Bieber. Yeah, all day, bro. All day. I would like to beat the shit out of Justin Bieber.
Dude, you know, that clip right there, that is going to be on the year's best clips at the end of the year right there. I want to beat the shit out of Justin Bieber. Oh, my gosh, that's perfect.
You know what? Let's throw that challenge out there. Anybody knows Justin Bieber?
Have hey.
Him get in touch with me. We'll get him fighting just like T.I. T.I., you want to fight? We'll get you a fight. Let's do this.
Yeah, dude. I mean, shit. We're about the same weight class, bro. Shit.
You know, Bieber's, you know, he's over here talking all this, and he's training with Money Mayweather.
I think he said something about Nick Diaz. So I was like, I like to beat him up anyways. I already wanted to beat him up.
You know, I don't like the Diaz brothers either. I don't like any of those guys from the Scrapa pack. That's what I call them.
What, the Scrap Pack?
Yeah.
I never met him, man.
I don't like any of those guys. I'm going publicly saying that.
A lot of people don't like them.
Everybody who knows me knows I don't like them.
That's great. Yeah,
well,
Justin Bieber said he wanted to fight Nick Diaz or something.
Yeah, you know, let me ask you that, you know, with your attitude being the free-flowing and focused ultimately on your career and not the BS, you know, how do you, let's say you have, you're out in public and somebody makes a comment that's disrespectful, especially about you being a fighter. How do you deal with that, especially if your kids are around?
Someone disrespecting me for being a fighter?
With your handicap, you know, if somebody and your kids are around, how are you the kind of guy who just walks away? Do you like to give your opinion back? Because, I mean, obviously there's assholes out there who disrespect you and don't look at you as a quote-unquote fighter.
Oh, like when they're like, oh, how do you do with one leg when I'm telling them I'm a fighter and they look at my leg like I'm crazy, like I'm lying or something?
Yeah,
what I do is I just show my video. I got a few videos that, you know. I just don't even talk about it much. I'm like, hey, check this out. I'll tell them about it real briefly, and then I'll pull up video. Hey, you want to see a guy with one leg beat the shit out of a guy with two? It's never, no one's ever going to say no to that shit, bro. I mean, you find a fucking guy that's going to say no to that, you find a hater. You know what I mean? We don't need those guys anyway, so yeah. They're always going to say yes, so then I just show them the video. And my wife and my kids all promote me, too. My wife and my kids are the biggest promoters I got, man. And I got a management team and a whole staff behind me, but, you know, the whole, you know, training team and stuff like that. But, you know, my wife, it all boils down to my wife and kids promoting the hell out of me, dude.
That's cool. Well, you know, before we run out of time with you, why don't you take this time, man? Anybody you want to thank, any sponsors, any shout-outs to anybody? You know, it's your time. Take a couple minutes and go at it.
Damn, bro, I got like 100 sponsors or people that support me. So, you know, I know I'm going to forget like 100 of them. But for the first guys, I want to, you know, thank. Obviously, you guys are calling me Ray Lopez for setting this all up. And Donald Royer, my manager. I'd like to thank, you know, all my training partners at Team Alpha Male and Ultimate Fitness, you know. My wife and kids, God, obviously. The Limb Center, because they make my legs, like I think, helping Eli. They donated a lot of, you know, my finances to my last couple camps. Del Rosa, landscaping, and, and Meineke, auto care. So those are my main sponsors for sure. I know I got a whole bunch of other sponsors that give me product and stuff, but I don't have the list with me. I wasn't expecting an interview right now, man. But, yeah, those are some of the main ones.
Okay, Midas, that's great.
Oh, and then one other thing. Everybody that bought tickets for my last two fights because they really helped me, you know, that fight happen because I wasn't going to be able to fight if I didn't, you know, make my quarter. And that felt good to see a lot of people supporting me and buying tickets to a fight they weren't even going to go to. Just the fact that it went towards, you know, my cause. Felt really good. I mean, I had 50 people, you know, that didn't even show up to the fight, donate their tickets to Wounded Warriors. So that's like a good shout out to all those people. And anybody that's bought official Stumped Athletics Will Fight for Future. You can log on to U.S. Combat Elite or USElitecombat.com and order those. And that'll kind of wrap up my shout-outs, dude.
Nice. Look forward to seeing you in July at Explode. I'm going to see if I can make it down there to Dago to check you out. And man,
thank
I can't wait to
you.
Have
yeah,
you
that'd
back
be awesome,
show,
man.
Bro.
I can't wait to meet you.
Yeah, me too, bro. You've been an inspiration to me.
Thank you. Thank you, bro. It's been real knowing you, man. You just have like a dozen, you know, over a dozen people on Facebook I want to meet, you know, before I pass, and you're definitely one of them, bro.
Thank you. I mean, you're definitely one I want to meet, too.
Oh, yeah, man.
All right, thank you for your time, bro. You have a good night.
Thank you for having me. You as well.
Man, that's a great kid. I tell you what, Ray, I like this attitude. I like this confidence even more. I like the fact that, you know, you would never in a million years know. He doesn't act like he doesn't care. He doesn't address it that way. And he, I mean, and that's how it should be. He is just a fighter, period. No different
yeah, exactly.
than any other fighter.
Exactly. And that's, you know, people saw, you know, I don't even want to say my struggle because it wasn't a struggle. You know, it happened, so I had to overcome it. So Steve Romero from Fight Me put me in touch with him. And, you know, our attitude towards it is the same thing. You know what? It's no big deal. If that's all I got to go through is losing a leg in life, then, hey, you know what? It's no big deal. I've been through tougher things than losing a leg. And, you know, that's how Matt's attitude is.
Well, it was, just amazing. I believe when that stuff went down with that Arizona promoter, that Lepaki, my Wednesday night co-host for Madhouse Live, we used to have a show on Sunday nights, a different show, and I believe he had come on that show the day after, 2 days after everything came out. And I'll be honest, I didn't catch that show, so I had never heard an interview from this kid until tonight, and I tell you what, man, kid's
yeah,
legit.
You know,
I like him.
Yeah, I was watching the thread, and he called him a freak show. That's why nobody wants to fight him. And I'm like, you know what? Call me a one-legged freak, fool. You know, and, you know, I don't like to bash people, especially being a member of the media. You know, like you said, we're neutral. But, you know, forget this fool. He wants to go like that. So I challenged him. I mean, you know, the only thing that's been affected by me losing my leg is my Muay Thai. I might be missing a leg. I still got thunder in my hands, and my wrestling is always going to be there. So this fool wants to fight, I'll fight him. You know, he's going out there throwing accusations out and putting people down. You know, that's the wrong thing to do. What he should have done as a businessman was just kept his mouth shut. Then he goes and he starts insulting people because of I don't want to even say a handicap because I don't see it as a handicap. But, you know, he wants to do that, then you know what? I'm going to chime in. And, you know, people who know me, you know, how do I say this off sounding like an idiot? I like fighting. In the cage, out of the cage, you know, I've been in situations where I was getting into fights with some known UFC fighters, and it's like, you know, I don't fight in the cage, I fight in the street, you know, and maybe that's the wrong thing for me to say, especially being in this business, but, I mean, I don't hide behind anybody, I don't use my leg as an excuse. Here's the way I look at it, and maybe people understand this. If somebody wants to fight one of my fighters at one of our after parties, and my fighter breaks his hand on a street bump, I lose money. If I break my hand on a street bump, it's no big deal.
That's a very good point.
Because, I mean, you know, we have our after parties, and people always, you know, well, what does takedown mean? Because we're all wearing the takedown shirts. Oh, you know, we're a fight team. And right away, you know, they start huffing and puffing and throwing their chest in the air and like, oh, I can beat you up. And no, you can't. Now it's time for you to go get your coat and leave.
There, Lepaki, there's an event up in Tacoma, Washington. We've supported from the very first show. We've been one of their sponsors called Cage Quest. And a pro fighter, Eddie Blackburn, when he retired, he started the league, and we had sponsored him as a pro fighter and been real, you know, he's family. So we've just worked with him. Well, one night after one of his events, a couple of the guys with Lepaki went out to the bar, and somewhere there's video of this because I've seen it. But they were, I guess, gabbing at some guys, and, you know, the fighters were getting, you know, like, hey, look, dude, we're fighters. We just finished fighting, you know, just leave us alone. And the guys kept going. All of a sudden, one of the dudes, no BS, he's like a 135er, jumps up on like a 205er guy just standing there, like 6 foot, flying triangle all the way down to the ground, tapped him out right there. And he's like, anybody else?
You know, I got a funny story like that. You know, we're at this club in Hollywood after one of our fights. And, you know, we're all dancing in our little group. And there's this dude, and he grabs one of the females in our group, and he grabs another one. And, you know, I see this, and, you know, and the girls know if they say something, it's going to be an all-out brawl. Well, one of the women that he decides to touch is Terrion Ware's wife. So I turn around, I tell two of my other guys, go grab Terrion now. So I start taking off my takedown shirt. You know, I got a shirt underneath because I don't want anybody to see me beat this dude up with a takedown shirt on. So I'm taking my shirt off. They go and they grab Terrion. The girl who I was with at the time, she stops me. She pushes me back. And then she turns around and knocks the dude out. Funniest thing I ever seen.
You gotta love that. Oh, man. Well, you know, Ray, another amazing show. The fans out there definitely loved it. I had one fan in particular who said that she felt that you were at your most comfortable with the last interview with the leg breaker. So there's some fans out there listening, giving us a little bit of feedback.
Thank you.
Everybody seemed to have loved the show. I know Miss Sherry, she's a huge supporter of the show. Love having her listen and talk with us during the show. Folks, you can always chat on any of the threads, tweet at us, questions, you know, or comments about the show. We're always there. You guys make sure you guys tweet at MMA Madhouse or Takedown Grappleware. It's going to be Takedown GW. Or, STP Tattoo. You guys can always hit us up during the show, before and after. Make sure you guys are following Sunday Night Fights Live's page. We sent out the Leg Breaker Matt's fan page tonight. We shared that on Madhouse, so it's on the Twitter and on Madhouse and everywhere for you guys. To the fans on the East Coast showing all that love for him, thank you very much. I like it, you know, when you guys get on the show and talk with us and interact with us. Also want to thank the great sponsors that do this show every week. That's Takedown Grappleware, MMA Madhouse, and Jax Media. You know, please, if you guys have any information for fights coming up, any, you know, events that we should know about for charity that tied to the combat sports world, post them on Sunday Night Fights Live. Shoot them to Ray. Let us know. Let us help get you guys a little bit of exposure through MMA Madhouse by posting up results, press releases. Feel free to share any fight videos, fight photos on Sunday Night Fight Live from SoCal or on MMA Madhouse Facebook page. You know, we'd love to help you guys get some of that out there and see who some of these fighters are. Other than that, Ray, go ahead. Do what you got to do.
Thank you for everyone for listening. Don't drink and drive. Definitely try to get out to the San Diego area, check out that Explode with Matt fighting on it. And I know I'll be there. I believe Jonathan Santa Maria is fighting on that card too. We got some shows coming up, hopefully in the works right now, for Terrion Ware, Isaac Velasco, and Bobby Sanchez, Demon Morris, and Doug Miller. So some of our pros also are working with King in the Cage Amateur. Hopefully we'll be out in Vegas end of August with Ty Bethley and Paul Ewell. So look out for that. That will be nationally televised. And go out there and support local MMA.
That is right. And, man, you know what? You got to cut a Madhouse minute with Terry on or something for us, man. You know, just one. You know, I'll give you the Dropbox address, man. Just cut a video, you know, maybe Terry on training, giving a shout-out, and, you know, send it for the Madhouse minute, man. Let the world see who he is.
Definitely. You know what? You know, I need to do that. And I'm always meaning to do, you know, my Madhouse minute. I know I was supposed to do it, and it always gets away from me. You know, maybe I'm just shying away from the camera. I don't know, but I got to start doing it, and, yeah, I'll definitely have one with Terry on.
Hey, you know, maybe next time Therion's, you know, in training, you know, and you go by, just throw up the camera and be like, you know, we got the champ training, boom. Hey, Therion, give a shout-out right as he's getting choked out. Have him wave at the camera.
No, what I'm going to do is when we go eat, I'm going to have him pigging out with his pizza.
That's what I'm talking about. Just have him give a shout-out to his sponsors. Be like, dude, I'm the champ, dude. I'm going to give a shout-out to my sponsors. And that's it, dude. I mean, and just have him eating some pizza. That would be totally cool. I mean, we've had some cool fighters send in some little cool videos. And, one sent in a weird video. I was just like, wow, dude, you got problems.
you know, speaking about that, you know, I'm going to get another one with Little Flash. You guys are going to trip out on this kid. His son, who's 20 months old, I think he's 20 months old, or no, 18 months old. This kid is a beast.
He's already in the gym?
Yes, he knows how to armbar. He knows how to put combos together. He's got a switch kick already. That's, you know, you got to check his kicks. I mean, he even holds mitts. This kid does it all.
See, it's that new generation, man. It's that new generation. Well, let's wrap this up. I'll hit the jacks and then our closeout music and. We'll go from there, and we'll see you guys all next Sunday night. Remember, you guys get out there and support SoCal MMA as well as support your local MMA scene wherever you are, and follow MMAMadhouse.com.
Jax Media.
Eagle!
Helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.